Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, I was just thinking here, as we have Bill Coffey in studio today, Stockman Bank, and we'll talk about, founded more than 70 years ago, it's an icon in our state. Just thinking about, if I'm going to talk about Stockman Bank, I'm rolling in Montana history. Founded like 1953, 70 years ago, right? We've seen a lot of changes through that time, and Stockman Bank has been a part of that. I'm also going to talk about values. We talk about values a lot on this show. And we should, right? I mean, they're important to us all. So if we're going to do an interview with Bill Coffey from Stockman Bank, yeah, we'll talk finances, we'll talk banking, but it's those things that we're happy to talk about as well, because they have been a part, and you know this, they've been a part of your community for the longest time. So, bank recognized once again on the Forbes list of America's best state banks, but that just opens the door to a lot of things here with Bill Coffey in studio today from Stockman Bank. Bill Coffey's kicking it in studio today. CEO, Stockman Bank, and rancher, insurance guy now too. And good morning, Bill. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. You wear a lot of hats. I think, as you know, you're Montana focused. And I want to talk about that, because there was probably opportunities where, you know, board members were going, hey, we could get into this or we can get into that. You know, maybe there are some banks that you can buy in North Dakota or something like that. And you stayed focused in that regard. But let's start with this recognition again. And how it comes about, because I think that opens the door for what we really want to talk about, is the values and how businesses give back and how they're a part of our individual as well as collective history.
Well, this Forbes award that announced Stockman Bank as the best bank in Montana is one of my favorite awards. I think it's fantastic because they randomly call people from all over the United States, and the formula is secret, but they call a lot of people up from Montana specifically and ask about banks. And Stockman Bank was ranked number one. I think this is the first year that they've said number one. In the past, I believe that they've said just one of the best banks. This year, they actually ranked them, and Stockman was clearly number one. And just appreciate all of our customers, and a lot of them are your listeners that are out there now. I'm sure they got the survey one way or another. And so just makes me so proud for our staff, because it really is our staff that earned this award. It's not all of us, sitting on high in management. It's really the people on the ground that are taking great care of our customers, that sometimes have to stay late, sometimes have to be there early, miss a lunch, work hard to take care of other people's money as hard as our customers have taken to earn their money. And so it's just a great sense of pride.
I want to go into that because I love that. When you're talking about, you know, people's finances, and there's hard numbers in there, and you know, they're going to either make you smile or make you frown. But what people are going to remember is the person across from them, how they were conducting themselves as you're going through this. I mean, numbers are one thing, but a relationship is a whole different thing.
Well, we believe at Stockman Bank that banking is a lot more than just money. You know, it's taking care of people, of their lives, their family, their way of life, and all of that.
How do you get the right people in the right place?
You know, that's very tough, and it gets tougher every day. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about being in Montana is we know that Montanans care for their neighbors. Most are committed, most are hardworking, most are conscientious. And so that's a huge advantage to us, but it does get harder. We try to train people, and you can't train a lot of those traits, but maybe you can bring those out and show the difference they make. Recently, I was talking to a gentleman that was a Stockman Wealth customer, and he talked about how having Stockman Wealth in his corner for his retirement just made all the difference, that he made good money, but never could save it, never did really invest it. And when he did invest, it didn't do the things that he wanted it to. And I try to use that as an example to a lot of our young people, whether bankers or with Stockman Wealth or even Stockman Insurance, that we're not just talking money, we're talking life and people and their whole lifestyle.
Is that why you got into wealth management? Is that why you got into insurance? Is that you working with this community recognize some of the areas that that were lacking?
Yes, on Stockman Wealth, we certainly did. It was, you know, a continuity of care, if you would. We saw a lot of our hardworking business people, ranchers, farmers, you know, widows, those kinds of things, had a big nest egg, and it didn't seem to do what it should do. And so we got into the wealth management, and it's been very successful, and we feel like we're helping take care of our customers well beyond just banking.
And the insurance aspect of it as well, I think it was a couple of years ago, combined with Jacobi Insurance, was that correct? Talk about getting into that industry as well.
Well, you know, when you talk about Jacobi, they're more on the health side of it. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing there was that we obviously provided insurance for many years, for many decades, but the health side is always a mystery. And as I approach 65, there's just so many rules and regulations. And Meg Jacobi, she's the recognized state expert on all of that. And I can't even talk about all the acronyms and all the things that she knows about. But because of that expertise, and Jacobi is in Helena and was headquartered there, now we can take that statewide. So all of our customers, whether you're in Mile City, Ekalaka, or Big Fork, Montana, you can benefit by Meg's expertise. And so that's been really exciting to see.
So as Bill Coffey is with us here, CEO of Stockman Bank. It's stockmanbank.com for information here. I mean, 43 service locations, approaching $7 billion in assets. It's Montana's largest family-owned and community bank. And I mean, and those aren't just words on a piece of paper to you, and I appreciate that. So how do you keep this family-owned bank grounded while you're scaling? Across, you're doing wealth management. I think the last time I checked an old, maybe it was several years ago, we did an interview with you, and I was looking at, there was like 37 locations, and now it's 43 locations. I mean, and it wasn't that long ago. How do you keep grounded in terms of the growth that you guys have experienced?
Well, first of all, it's fun, you know, serving more of our neighbors every day. I mean, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
and fun to get to serve more corners of our beautiful state. You know, I think part of the way that we continue with the culture that we have, one, it's very important to us, and we focus on it literally every day in some way or another. I think our reputation of personalized service and care and commitment goes out to people that are looking for jobs. If you're looking for a transaction, if you're looking for just an 8-to-5 job, show up and get out of there, you generally don't apply to Stockman Bank. The other part of what we do is by having, for the most part, good Montanans, people that are committed to that Western way of life and our ethics and those kinds of things, is to develop that and to impress upon people how important our work is. Again, not just money, but people's lives. And so I think by helping to educate people on that, it cultivates that culture. And lastly, I think it's contagious. When you see someone come in that has a problem, somebody that may have fraud on their account, somebody that needs a loan right away to take an advantage of a great opportunity, and you see that get done and you see the results, it's contagious. It's like, I want to provide that service. I want to be that hero or that person that really made a difference in this customer's life. And so I think it is contagious from that standpoint.
And I like that too, because I've been thinking, there was a company that we hired recently to do some lawn care for us. And they just did an excellent job and taking care of weeds or whatever it was. And then there was recently, and I'll give that in, that was Weed Man. And then I'll also, Canyon Noble, we were doing some work in Belgrade. And their customer service was outstanding. And that's word of mouth. That's how you earn. They earned, because I'm talking about Weed Man right now. Nobody's asking me about it.
Right.
You know, same thing for Canyon Noble. Stockman Bank's a little bit like that, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think the important thing at Stockman is, no matter what your function is, you know, whether you're a loan officer or whether you're a teller, that we expect excellence And I think that our employees at every level want to provide that. And again, it is contagious, and you don't want to be the one that lets the team down. It really is a team effort as well.
How many times in your career, in 30 years serving here now, did you ask the question of your father or your grandfather, whether they were present or present in heaven? How many times did you ask them, is this the right thing to do? Or did you make a decision and think that CM was looking down going, Bill, I don't know about that one? How many times did...
Sadly, a lot. Yeah. And I still do. You know, you'd think it at... Once you're in your 60s, that you'd have a lot of this stuff figured out. But no, I unfortunately do it a lot.
What is there anything that comes to mind? Well, look, we got a break. Well, I know we can do this right now. Is there anything that comes to mind? And I know, you know, it's hard to go back and track some things. But is there anything that comes to mind when you almost heard the audible voice of your father or grandfather as you were conducting business?
Well, you know, in the early days when we were expanding, I think we had a lot more questions because it's like, well, Billings is the big city and, you know, coming up in Eastern Montana with the ag values and the ethics that we had and the, you know, just knowing the people as well as we did. So when we came to Billings, it was like, is a big city, are we going to be able to provide the service in a big city that the big city wants? Now, when I say big city to most people, Billings is not a big city, but when you come from Miles City, Sydney, Glendive, Eastern Montana, so in those days it was a lot more scary than now.
Yeah.
I think that we know what Montanans want. Our services are uniquely designed for Montanans. We're not serving anywhere else. And so it's not as scary as it used to be. Some of the numbers are bigger when we used to build buildings and it was, you know, $100 a foot or $200 a foot. Those were scary numbers. Now we wish we could get back to anywhere close to those.
Right.
But yeah, as far as really, you know, going out on a limb or something, we don't do that much anymore.
Yeah. Stockman Bank, when we talk about like a community bank or a family bank, what is that? How do you describe what a Montana bank is?
Well, I think a community bank obviously is more invested in each local community than just a bank. And I know, you know, some of our larger competitors call themselves community banks and they're not. Some of our smaller competitors, you know, say they're community banks, but they're really not. They're not invested in the community. Mm-hmm. Giving back obviously is a huge part of that, supporting the community, making each community you're in a better place. And those are all founding principles that my grandfather had back in 1953. We continue that today. That serves us well. It serves the state well. And it's fun to know that you're part of the solution and making a place better than just being there.
And that's one thing I got on the plate here to talk about too, but your commitment there includes, you know, philanthropy and being in this seat. Oftentimes we talk about what's the proper role for government, what's the proper role for business, and could, you know, if we get government out of the way, does business step in? You're a business that does step in that regard.
Yes, and I know we get a lot of press, you know, for our donations or get, that seems to get it. But one of the things that I think is important is we give back through volunteering. We serve on a lot of committees, councils, you know, help with the schools and help volunteering in a lot of ways. I know that Wayne Nelson here in Billings has been on the Home Builders Association board for, I'm going to say 20 years. And Ron O'Donnell from Stockman Wealth, was on the chamber, the state chamber board, now on the Montana Bankers Association. So I think a lot of the volunteering is what I'm most proud of.
And it's volunteering. It's not voluntelling. You said earlier, it's kind of harder now to make the right hire. Why is that? And how, you know, how do you get the people then?
Well, spoken like a true old person, I would say that a lot of the personal relationships that maybe some of the younger people have, they haven't honed those as we used to have to do. We didn't call people on the phone, you know, very much, certainly not on cell phones, texting, those kinds of things. So I think some of the personal interaction is maybe lost through the technology. also, I think some of these larger communities, the sense of taking care of your neighbors maybe is lost. You know, I know you grew up in Hysham, and in a place like Hysham, you obviously took care of your neighbors. You knew your neighbors. If they needed help, if they needed something, you were there for them. Whereas in a place even as large as Billings, it's hard to know your neighbors and to know what they really need. So I think to some extent, just the way the generations have progressed maybe makes it tougher.
Stockman Bank, Miles City is where it all began. Headquarters there, Montana's largest family-owned community bank. Talked about all those locations around the state, seeing them pop up as well. Bill Coffey's in studio here. Again, celebrating a recognition by Forbes as number one best in-state bank in Montana. And congratulations on that. And I know we talked about that earlier. I think it was another Forbes recognition in April, one of the world's best banks as well, you know? And I know you credit the staff and those values, but you've got to take some pride in that. I know you do. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I take great pride in that. And as you know, it's 73 years or 72 years of family history there, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, definitely.
I want to talk about that aspect of it here, too, because I want to fold in your grandfather and your father, Nefcy and Coffey, and the starting of them. They were ranchers. I heard you tell a story, and StockmanBank.com for more information. There's some nice videos that you guys have hosted there, and I heard you tell a story that one of the reasons that you guys are in banking now is because your grandfather couldn't get an ag loan in Miles City.
That's right. Miles City bills itself as the cow capital of the world. And in 1953, my grandfather went to the two banks there and could not get an ag loan. And the joke is that you can't loan to yourself. So even after he had a bank in Miles City, he never could get an ag loan.
So that plan didn't work out then. No. Yeah, well, it worked out. Talk about that history. I mean, What do you see day to day that still reflects on that those families?
Well, it's very humbling for me because Stockman has had a great amount of success, and we're serving more of our neighbors every day, and it's just a huge source of pride. But my parents and grandparents definitely had to sacrifice, and you know, I don't want to go into all the details, but my grandmother saved rent money in a coffee can.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and nobody forgets that. You don't forget that when you're, whatever it is, you're at your desk and you're on the phone or you're signing papers. You don't forget that.
That's for sure. Yeah. And we don't forget the people who made us successful.
Yeah. I want to talk about how they did that with a ranch as well at the same time. And you still have the ranch, the family ranch.
Yes.
It keeps you connected in this community.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, my grandfather never considered himself a banker. He never really cared for bankers. He considered himself a consumer of financial services. And that's the lens that Stockman Bank still looks at, is that we're looking through our customers' eyes, what they want. I know that we were talking recently to some people that said we would like wider drive-up lanes. And so we have, in a lot of our new banks, we have wider drive-up lanes that if you have a trailer, a dually pickup, if you're a soccer mom in a big Suburban or Expedition, you can get through there. And so we try to look through our customers' eyes and say, what do they want? Serving Montana and only Montana, I think that's a huge advantage because we're all Montanans. Our roots are here. Our history is here. And so we know uniquely what Montanans want and need. And when that changes, we listen.
That's another good example. The little thing that you can do in terms of wider lanes that you're listening to your customers regarding the ranch itself. Give us an update on that and how you know how that keeps you grounded.
Well, you know, my sister does all the heavy lifting there. My sister's out branding today. My son's out branding today, north of Miles City. So I'm not much of a rancher. If I was sitting up here telling you I'm much of a rancher anymore, I occasionally go out and help. I do a lot of the financial stuff, but the real hard work is done by my sister and my son and occasionally my daughter and her family. So it sure helps to have the family and the team. It's just like with Stockman Bank, having that team where everybody chips in, everybody works, and you know, knows their role and does a fantastic job with their role.
So what have you seen that's different? And you know, banking's one thing. We'll talk about the technology, I think, in the next segment here. But, you know, as you look at that 1953 part, you're a part of Montana's history in a lot of ways. As you look back and then look forward, how do you think that changes? Or what will the connection be in 30 years from now?
Well, you know, when you talk about our history, we feel fortunate and blessed to be able to help our neighbors succeed, whether it's a farm, ranch, buying their first house, saving for the future, insuring their crops or their property. And so it's really fun to see that. And I guess when I look down the road, I just hope we're serving more and more of our neighbors. I can't tell you exactly what that's going to look like, but our goal is to continue to be the best bank in Montana, to be the best insurance provider in Montana, and certainly the best wealth management and financial planners in the state. And we're continuing to cultivate the next group to do that. And at my age, that really is heartening to see that this can carry on for many generations, and that we're building the next group of professionals.
Maybe now we launch into this a little bit about the technology, and then we'll tease it ahead. We've seen a lot of different changes. The finances are beyond me in a lot of ways, and how difficult they can be to make it all make sense into one aspect here. How has technology challenged you? And I know there's competition as well, more so now than maybe there has been in all of that. So I think all that folds into, having the resources that you need to be the bank you want to be.
Well, at Stockman, for at least 30 years now, we've said that technology should enhance customer service, not replace it. And so we've tried to allow our customers to bank at Stockman however they want to bank. If you want to bank on your phone, that's great. If you want to go into your branch, if you want to do the drive-through, we now have ITMs, intelligent teller machines. We're rolling those out, and we've had a great ATM network across the state for 20 or 30 years. And so we've tried to be on the cutting edge of that technology. We were the first bank to provide image checks in Montana back when that was cutting edge, again, about 30 years ago. And so we just want to provide however you want to bank, we're ready to bank.
Do the customers trust that? Trust the technology yet?
You know, some do, some don't. I think that that's the great thing about Stockman. We have local branches with local people that are empowered to do the right thing, that have the authority to take care of you, a very flat management structure so that they do have that authority. But yet, if you don't really want to come in and you want to take pictures of your checks on your phone and do most of it, you know, mobily, then we're there for you as well.
Does it all come together? That's not actually a really good question. I got 30 seconds here as well. Does technology help us then manage it better?
I believe it does. Okay. But again, that's on a personal basis. If you want to just come in and have the teller handle your transaction, that's the way I prefer it. I do some things on the phone, but I do like that personal interaction and personal service.
I've been using more and more of the online financial services. So I'm old, but I'm learning some new tricks as an old dog. Deep Roots in Montana, Stockman Bank. We're with Bill Coffey here today, and thank you for joining us back again from Montana for Montana. One of the world's best banks, S&P Global named it one of the top 50 community banks, recently just named by Forbes again as the number one bank in Montana in their 2025 Best In-State Banks list. A lot of reasons for that. A lot of that has to go to values. A lot of that goes to the kind of staff that you've got, Bill, and congratulations on all that. Let's, we talked about technology a little bit, and there's more to that, I know. I'm curious, as we look at, the next 30, 50 years for Montana, there's a push to get young producers back in the game. And I think that's been a good push. It's been successful in some ways as well. What does it take to get a loan? You're sitting across a young producer, got all the enthusiasm in the world, maybe single, maybe a married couple or whatever it is. They've got all the enthusiasm and dedication in the world, but not much else. How do you guide them?
Well, each situation obviously is very different. At Stockman, you will have a knowledgeable person sitting across the table from you that'll help you with every step of the way and work you through that. Even if we can't do the loan at that time, we'll give you guidance on, you know, how you can get closer to that approval. And there may be other options that they would look at as well. So it's tough to say this is what you would exactly do.
Right.
I know my grandfather put a lot of value on your work ethic and those kinds of things. Those are harder to do now with the government regulations and all the different things. But I think it all plays a role. I think, when a young person is looking to get started, it's always nice if there's a family member or a friend that could maybe be a co-signer or be a guarantor, some of those kinds of things. We've seen people that have great equity in their homes be able to leverage that. Or have other investments or something that they could either liquidate or use as collateral. So there's just a lot of options. I think the first part is to find, someone in your community that you trust, that is experienced, and sit across the desk from them and just get their advice. Also, I think talking to older generations is really a good way to see how they did it and to see what advice they have.
Do they have an understanding of, and maybe you can fill us in too, an operating loan or the amount of money it takes to operate nowadays, because equipment is $1 million. It's, and you have larger farms versus some smaller farms as well. Give us a sense of what it takes to operate in today's world.
No, those input costs, as you talk about, whether it's machinery, whether it's fertilizer, all of that is huge. It's very expensive. A lot of times, especially on the grain side, that it can be a long time before you sell your crop. And so that you need that a longer operating loan. And again, I think having an experienced, dedicated partner is a big part of that. You know, at Stockman, we've been doing this for 72 years. We know that sometimes the market conditions aren't right to sell your wheat, or sometimes you have to send your cattle to the feedlot, and sometimes they're longer because the summer was tougher and they didn't gain as much. Yeah. And so, I mean, we've been through it. I can't say that we've seen it all, because it seems like every time that we think we have that, you know, there's the tariff scare, or there's more problems in the Middle East, or different problems in the Middle East or around the world. So we haven't seen it all, but we've seen most of it. And having hardworking, experienced bankers on the ground just gives you an ally in your corner.
Have you seen, you've seen the damage from this recent hailstorm, and it's been widespread. It hit the Browns. I think it hit your property as well.
Yes.
You can't control Mother Nature, how do you advise through, and every business wants certainty, but I don't know that every business has even 70% certainty. How do you advise through that?
Well, when you're talking about on the recent storm, that comes back to like a Stockman insurance, where if you have the right insurance and the right people that are helping you with that, it makes a world of difference. They go to bat for you against the big insurance company, those kinds of things. So that's really one of the first lines of defense, if there is one. The second part of that is having a relationship. I know a lot of people just want a transaction. It's just, I need money, or I need have an account. It's just a transaction. But having a relationship where someone is in your corner, where someone knows your character, your work ethic, and if you're handed a curveball, it is way easier to survive it with somebody in your corner who knows like the long-term and committed to the long-term versus just a transaction.
And sometimes it just doesn't work out too, right?
Unfortunately, that's true. And agriculture is always tough. But it seems like Montanans get through it. I mean, we have a lot of smart producers. It's not easy being a producer in Montana. You have to be quick and nimble and smart and hardworking is really a big key to that. And then having the right team, whether it's family members or a great bank or a great insurance agency behind you, all makes success a lot more, I guess, it's going to happen more often.
Wealth management, insurance, and of course, finances. One of the other hats that you wore, you served as a board member for the Fed Reserve based out of Helena for a couple of full terms here. We had good conversations regarding that as well. Appreciate that. What do you see nowadays? What do you see in our world economy, inflation, tariffs? Have they had an impact? Fertilizer, I know, is probably up because of that. But
well, you know, it seems like on the tariff side, there are a lot of people saying they know what's going to go on and they make these big predictions and all of that. No one really knows. I don't believe that President Trump necessarily knows. It's a negotiation. I do know that on the tariffs, we are going to be better at the end of all of this than we started out. We cannot continue to be on the low end of the trading, you know, with our trading partners and them taking advantage of us. So no matter how it shakes out, I think we're going to be better for it. There could be some angst and pain in the interim. As far as interest rates go, I wish I had a crystal ball. But I think that I would plan on staying the course kind of where we are probably for several months. We're supposed to get some reductions, maybe two rate reductions towards the end of the year. I think those are up in the air and dependent upon what happens in the Middle East, what happens again with the tariffs, with the big, beautiful bill, all of those kinds of things. I mean, there's just so many variables, but there really always are. And I guess my advice to anyone out there is to stay the course. You know your situation better than anyone's. Stay the course, and a lot of this stuff is going to just shake out and be just fine. And I think we've seen that through the decades.
And for me, I tend to think that our affordable energy gives us that opportunity to be a more resilient company. And I know it's energy is maybe not on the radar every day when you talk about finances, but at some point it is, because we're going to find ourselves short of energy if we don't make some moves in that regard. You can't take everything into account, but do you take some of those things into account?
Well, we sure try to at Stockman. And yeah. If I can come back to your energy comment, I think you're spot on that, not only by having affordable, reliable energy in America, but just think of the jobs and the taxes. You know, when you go over to Sydney or Glendive or some of those places, the high-paying, wonderful jobs that they create right in those local communities, they help pay for the schools, the infrastructure, all of that. It's just a real win-win situation.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd hate to see us get off track of that. Keeping it affordable. We don't want to get too political, but I think our direction has not considered the affordability of things. And that's just a mistake. Interest rates. Again, going back to your time with the Fed Reserve, they were super, super low for the longest time. And so, we didn't get much out of our CDs or our savings accounts. So having them maybe rise, is there a sweet spot in your mind for interest rates?
No, I think most bankers just like stable rates because it's really hard to guess, where the changes are going to be. I think you bring up a great point, though, on interest rates. If you're a borrower, it was fantastic to have them low. But if you're a retiree or a saver and trying to invest those funds, it was really tough. And so it is a double-edged sword with interest rates.
Do you see anything, happening? I think maybe they'll come up a little bit. You don't have a crystal ball, I know. But what would you like to see with them?
Again, more stability is great. Yeah. I do think, though, that rates aren't going to go up. I think ultimately they will come down. Now, the real question is, will they just come down, a few quarter points here and there, or will that continue longer? I think that's the real question is, in 26, if we do have, say, 2 quarter point rate cuts towards the end of 25, in 26, will that continue, or will it just stabilize for a while? I think those are some of the bigger questions. It's hard to see that interest rates might go up at this point, but as soon as I say that, some series of events could happen, obviously, that could send him higher.
I forgot what I was going to go with that. It has to do with the cost of money. Do people still make a profit nowadays? Is it harder nowadays than it was? Because when money was cheap, I don't think that we were thinking about, you know, is my business solid all the way around?
No, you're exactly right. I think that we're seeing a lot of even like subdivisions, spec homes, those kinds of things that people are really having to have a sharp pencil. And some of them don't make sense in this environment. And it's not only the rates, which are higher than they were over the last, say, 5 years or so. But when you look at all the costs as well, and then the affordability, you know, I know that a statistic just came out that Montanans have some of the highest housing prices, but our income, you know, hasn't kept up with those housing prices. And so when you look at all of that, you take all of it and interest rates are a component of it. Some of these deals just don't make sense to go out and do.
Right. What did you learn in your two terms?
Yeah, wow, that's a tough one. I was there for a very interesting time. I was there pre-COVID and then COVID and then a little bit, you know, post-COVID. So it was an interesting process. I'm not sure I can really answer your question. I will say that the people that put the Federal Reserve together were absolutely genius. You know, we're listening to Powell now, where Donald Trump does not care for Powell necessarily, but he has to live with him through the end of this year. And it's ingenious the way they set that up, that to keep the Federal Reserve independent from politics. Obviously there is influence there, but it's very independent the way they have different banks vote at different times. And so it really makes a big difference, I think, for our country to have that independence from a political standpoint.
Does the Fed need to be audited?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I think the Fed's worked well through the years. I think having that independence is important. I know that there's a lot of a lot of people on the other side that would say they certainly do and they need to be held accountable. I don't think they've ever abused that power or abused the, you know, all the things that they have going there.
Interesting. They don't have a lot of tools, really.
Really don't. They have some big ones, but not very many of them.
Yeah. Bill Coffey finishing up here with Stockman Bank. Thank you. Yes. Let's talk about your philanthropy. We don't have enough time to share this, but you guys, Chaudière Hospital, they'll be here on June 26th, the Butte Rescue Mission, and talk about, you know, those connections.
You know, you mentioned the Rescue Mission. The Rescue Mission here in Billings is near and dear to my heart. My wife and I volunteered there over Thanksgiving, had a great time. We were exhausted at the end of the day. It's amazing what they do.
Yes.
When you talk about Chaudière serving all of the kids across Montana, regardless of the parents' ability to pay, it's just absolutely amazing. We have so many great causes here. And as we talked about earlier, I think the volunteering is my biggest source of pride, but it is fun to be able to have the financial resources to go out and help make a difference in some of these great organizations that take care of so many Montanans.
How do you wrap up 30 years in the banking industry in 30 seconds?
Boy, I don't. And I hope that at my age, I have many more years to continue to serve Montana.
Yeah. Well, I do too, as a matter of fact. Yeah. You don't have any other plans? Are you going fishing soon or?
I hope so, but yeah. I always have that plan.
Yeah, good. Bill, thank you. You know, thank you for conducting business in Montana that Montanans can be proud of.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole family as well. Appreciate it. And you're welcome back, okay? Keep getting awards, too.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.